Clock at three. Rozier, long three-pointer. It's up. In and out won't go. Baines trying to keep it alive. Ball knocked loose. Baines comes up with it. Goes to the rim and is hammered by both James and Korver. Let's see where they call it on. Baines, when he caught it, he got his back to the rim. All he had to do was turn right away.
Yeah, NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man, it's NBA Australia. It's Tuesday, May 22. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, the Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Just while wrapping Straya a little bit, mate. It's what we do. So today's show wraps the mega Celtics-Cavs Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 from last night. After a weekend of blowouts, this was a nice one. So that was good. So we've got plenty to talk about there. There's also the usual dumbassery. That means, yeah, nah. That's not a knife. That's a knife. Spud of the night. The Australian Player Watch. The unpopular opinion of the day. The Joe Ingles Inspiration Board. And Outback Takeouse. Get some shrimp with your flame-grilled takes. Yeah, and because it's Tuesday, we've also got a brand new Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Bloke Going Ham Award of the Week Hall of Fame. And we finish up with a brand new Joe Ingles HR Manager. Woo! Yeah, man, it's episode 124. It's NBA Australia. Let's go!
It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better, because it is time for the daily whip around. That's what we do every day here on NBA Straya. And look, there was a couple little murmurs popping out of the NBA today, but we can cover them in the end. So that's what we'll do. So let's just wrap up last night's Eastern Conference Finals Game 4, where the Boston Celtics went into Cleveland. Where is that, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland!
That is Cleveland. And they lost to the Cavs, 111-102. Look, interesting game. The Cavs popped them right in the mouth from the outset, 34-18 in the first quarter, and then the Celtics won the next three quarters, but the Cleveland Cavaliers,
Cleveland,
were actually just sort of that good in that first quarter that it didn't really matter. That's bananas, isn't it? Like, the fact that Boston wins three of the four quarters and still loses by nine is pretty indicative of how good the Cavs have been in the first halves in these last two games to tie up this series 2-2. And that's where we're at, man. So Boston, they nearly kept this manageable at the end of the first half. They had it down to 11. But the Cavs had a little bit of a run to keep it up at 15. And it's weird, though. Like, it kind of felt like it should have been 20, right? It was weird. So, strange game. The Celtics were kind of right in it from a lot. Like, it never seemed insurmountable, was kind of the point I'm trying to make eventually. The Celtics were there just like, man, you just needed a little bit more offense. But the problem was they shot 41% from the field and only 32% from three. Well, the Cavs shot 50% from the floor and 34% from three, almost 35. They made more three-pointers than the Cavs. They just shot a worse percentage, and it was pretty brutal. Like, a lot of turnovers from the Cavs too, but it didn't really help the Celtics that much because they couldn't hit their layups or shots. So let's get into it. Let's have a look at the Celtics. Marcus Smart played a bit of a good game. He came off the bench and was an instant spark plug, as we've come to expect from Marcus Smart there. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 turnovers, and 1 of 5 from three. Marcus Smart likes 5, kid. Come on, dude. Not bloody bad, Marcus Smart, but the weird part was he kind of kept getting dragged at weird times when he was the only dude slowing LeBron down a hint for the Celtics, so it was weird. Speaking of slowing down LeBron, Mook Morris, he got slapped with 3 quick fouls in the first half, had 5 early in the third as well. So that limited him to 24 minutes and 10 points. It's tough to slow down LeBron with Morris in foul trouble, as well as Smart sort of going in and out randomly. Jaylen Brown had 25 points but missed a bunch of dunks, and that came on 10 of 23 shooting. Big Al Horford, 15 points on 13 shots to go with 7 rebounds, Jason Tatum. He had 17 on 5 of 13 shooting. Again, just that lack of efficiency really killed the Celtics. Terry Rozier, scary Terry, was more scary than not away from Boston. He had 16 on 15 shots. He had 11 assists, though. That's one more than Kyrie's ever had in a playoff game. Trade Kyrie! Love it. Bangers Baines. He had 7 rebounds, 8 points. Out there crushing it. Went the wrong way at one point, which was pretty bloody hilarious. That was what you heard at the top of the show. Everyone's like, Bangers, go back the other way, mate. You've got a clear path to the hoop. And he's like, oh, shit, so I do, bro. And got whomped. Pretty brutal. So there you go, man. Boston, just it sort of all didn't quite click properly for them, which was a bit of a shame because there were different points of this game where you're like, ah, here they come. And then suddenly someone randomly for the Cavs, like Larry Nance Jr. or Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson would like get a bucket and you're like, ah, now it's back up. It was 9, now it's back up to 13. And the Cavs really just kept that nice buffer the entire way. Never let it get to like, you know, 6 points, 5 points, that sort of oh shit, they're coming back. It's a 2-possession game kind of stuff. So, and a lot of that was to do with LeBron James, 44 points. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but 44, 5, 3, and 2 steals. Pretty bloody good. Yeah, we'll talk about that at length. a little bit later. Kevin Love looked okay as well, even though he missed basically roughly 1 bajillion. That is the official term, 1 bajillion shots at the rim last night. He went ended up 3 of 12 for 9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. One of which was an amazing full court quarterback hoove down to the receiver LeBron in double coverage. Touchdown! That was amazing. It was a great pass. Nailed him perfectly. The fact that LeBron goes up and gets that goddamn pass and then just able to go straight back up and lay it in was incredible. That was an awesome play. George Hill came good again in this game at home. 13 points for Georgie boy there. Tristan Thompson had 13 and 12 and he was super active in the first half. Especially with his rim running, it was a great moment at the end of the first half where the Celtics were slowing down, expecting LeBron to set up for a final shot. And Tristan just kept bouncing to the rim, and LeBron's like, oh, okay, cool, there's a lane to the rim. There you go, 2 points, bang. And that really sort of kept it around that 13, 15-point mark for the Cavs. So, man, Tristan Thompson, that energy really, really helps. J.R. Smith, he had 9 points on 3 made 3-pointers in the first half. His inbound off a Celtic back to try and beat the clock to hit a 3 was pretty great too at the very death of the first half. Larry Nance Jr. was very important in his 10 minutes, man. I loved his energy, his hustle. He had 7 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in 10 minutes. That was unreal. He and Kevin Love, though, Kyle Korver. Larry Nance Jr. and Kyle Korver screwed up a pretty terrible double team on Al Horford, where Al Horford just like twirled one way and was past both of them somehow and dunking. It's like, what? Kyle, Larry, that's not how you do a fucking double team, you idiots. speaking of Kyle Korver, he had 14 points. He hadn't missed a shot for 6 quarters of playoff basketball, basically, and then finally missed one. He goes 2 of 5 from 3, but every time he touched the ball, you're like, damn, Kyle's going to get that ball in. He also had 3 blocks, 2 of which are on the same play. Man, Kyle Korver, defensive stalwart, bro. That was awesome. So there you go. Fun game. The Celtics just couldn't quite drag it in. There are offenses just a little bit like, without that touch of top-end quality and class there in Kyrie or Gordon Hayward, it's a lot of leaning on Jason Tatum and Big Al Horford or Terry Rozier, like made threes off the bounce. And when those aren't suddenly dropping and when Tatum is a little bit tentative, like I'm going to bring up in a second, or Big Al just can't go out there and dominate and he's not hitting his threes either, yeah, it falls apart pretty quickly. As you'd expect, though. I mean, that's how it goes when you're missing your 2 best players. You're going to lose some of these games, and that's what happened. So let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That was a knife,
LeBron Maurice James. Woo, what a game. 44 points. 44. That's got to be the quietest 44 points LeBron's ever had in his life. And also, did you like my Maurice? It's LeBron Raymond James. So everybody chill out. That's his sixth 40-point game of the playoffs. That's the most anyone has had in a playoff run since Allen Iverson back in 2001 when he led the Sixers to the finals there. So he has 44 points on 17 of 28 shooting. What? That is unreal. He goes 1-4 from 3, has 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. But even though he did all that, he had 7 turnovers. And that was the thing that he focused on at the end of the game. He was like, hey, man, I had 7 turnovers as well. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, but LeBron, you had 44 points. And it's almost like run-of-the-mill shit now. So it was pretty weird how, like, he was just the constant. Anytime they sort of got down or were in a little bit of a slump, he'd be like, ah, fuck it. Get out of the road. Guys, fuck. Oi, you stand over there. You stand over there. I've got this. And then that's what he did. He went and got it. And without Mook Morris out there or Brad Stevens randomly bringing in and taking out Marcus Smart when he was playing pretty good D on LeBron, man, kind of hurt the Celtics there. So LeBron, that is the knife for tonight. So how about old mate, no mates though for today?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, it's these Celtics outside of Boston still, isn't it? It's pretty crazy, man. They really can't win a game. They're 1-6 outside of Boston now, these playoffs. And old mate, no mates is also anyone suggesting that Brad Stevens is such a fucking galaxy brain genius that he threw game 3 to outwit the Cavs in game 4. Yeah, how did that work out? Yeah, not great. Oh, Jesus. So there you go. Old mate, no mates. It's a tough one. So how about the bitch ass of the night? Who was the bitch ass of the night? Bitch ass of the night. Bitch ass of the night. The refs. That call on Marcus Morris, man. The entire game just went fucking sideways as soon as the refs called a kick on Marcus Morris when he was shooting a 3. Where it's pretty clear he just kind of like got his foot run into, I guess. It was a bit of a there call, but still, that was unreal. Calls were everywhere. So I want to call the refs the bitch asses of the night because this was fucking crazy, man. Calls everywhere were bad, dude. And like Boston can't sit there and be like, oh, dude, all the calls went against us, dude. Dude, it was really sick. Boston, they shot 41%. And the Cavs had 23 fouls for 30 free throws. While Boston had 26 fouls for 29 free throws in a game that they kept switching Terry Rozier onto LeBron. And look, I don't know if there's too much of a complaint there. I feel like it was just bad across the fucking board, wasn't it? Ugh, it was gross. Boston fans were whinging early on, and it still it just felt like everyone was getting towed, so it was a bit shit. Speaking of getting towed, the actual bitch ass of the night, Joel Embiid, for calling Aaron Baines man bun and saying that he's only in the NBA to get dunked on. Jeez, Joel, I didn't see you tweeting when he was toweling your ass in the Eastern Conference semis there, Palo. So maybe pipe down and leave my little Aaron Baines alone. Bangers. All right, so how about Spud of the night, though? Who was our Spud of the night?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
That's right, man, Spud of the night. Look, this could be Jaylen Brown with his 10 of 23 for 25 and a couple of really brutal missed dunks when you're like, ah, yeah, Boston aren't going to win this. But I'm going to give this one to probably Scary Terry Rozier. Scary Terry, dude. 6 of 15 for his 16 points, and they were hunting him. Bum hunting, as it were, on defense for Terry Rose, to the point where Tristan Thompson was calling for the ball and backing Terry Rose down on switches, and you're like, oh, shit. Terry, come on, mate. And he's like, oh, guys, help out. Guys, help me so much. Oh, my God. And, yeah, it was no good. So Terry, look, even though he had 11 assists, he didn't play too bad of a game. It was just like a couple of these very early threes that he was attempting and just some other shots where you're like, dude, come on, maybe get into the flow a little bit more. But hey, man, that's his game. That's how it goes. So still, Spud of the night, what are you going to do? Sorry, Scary Terry. Sorry, Jaylen Brown. Spuds right there. How about better than Lonzo Ball for last night, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody while hanging out in a gym in Reseda, taking on day laborers named Jose and a bunch of like computer programmers from the Valley named Max in your dad's Big Baller League. I mean, that's much better than playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like Jason fucking Tatum, 5 of 13 he goes last night, missed his only 3 that he attempted, ends up with 17 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 turnovers. Unfortunately, he's a minus 14 for the game and was very tentative, which is the thing that I talked at the top. It was weird to sort of see him go, hey, man, I got JR on me. And it's like, yeah, you should attack him. JR's not good at basketball, Jason. Get him, fella. And he was passing out. And you're like, dude, maybe just take over a little bit more. Look, you're not a rookie. You've played a year. You're basically a sophomore at this point. Let's go. Let's fucking crush it. And he couldn't quite do it. But still, that was better than Lonzo Ball and better than Markelle Fultz, the two dudes who were taken ahead of him in the NBA draft. So that is better than Lonzo Ball, better than Markelle Fultz for today. I need Jason Tatum. Good stuff. All right, we'll be back right after these words for some Yeah Nahs.
Oh, kia ora, Brews. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's time for Yeah Nah. We take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, can this Cavaliers team win 1 game in Boston in this remaining best of 3 series now? Yeah Nah. Yeah, I think they kind of can, right? I feel like we've punctured the air of invincibility around Boston for just a hint. It might be game 7 that they win. It might be game 5, but I feel like they get one of them. And obviously, if they get one game 5, then probably won't be game 7. but that sort of, as I was talking about at the top, that lack of top-tier quality without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward, and with a bunch of young dudes on the road, you're going to, you know, hit some bumps. And it really comes down to Boston going, all right, man, we are fucking a different team at home. Our young dudes are super energized. They know how to play. They are fired up. All the adrenaline is pumping. Whereas on the road, you're kind of like, ah, this is a little bit different. I'm not used to this. And it gets a little bit sideways pretty quickly. But the Cavs, I kind of feel like they're just sitting there going, look, if we just hit shots, we've probably got a pretty good chance of beating these dudes. And I feel like they might end up doing one. So number 2, is Joel Embiid just salty? He got towed by Aaron Baines. Yeah, nah, yeah, fucking course he is. The poor bugger sitting at home with a busted fucking scone talking about man buns. Well, the man in the man buns already got a ring and sitting out there in the Eastern Conference Finals after beating the shit out of Embiid in the Sixers. I can see why he'd be salty. I love Joel Embiid, but now I've got to fight him. So Joel Embiid, if you're listening, you and I, behind the fucking Ballarat High bike sheds. 4 p.m. See you there. Number 3, should anyone who is like, trade Kyrie or trade Gordon Hayward be publicly pelted with eggs in Boston? Yeah, nah. Yes, this whole fucking trade the dudes who are great because these guys are okay and keep some cap flexibility moving forward are fucking idiots. So we should egg them or at least give them a nut flick. And then, look, that there you go, the nut flick. If a mate makes a dumb statement like the Celtics are better without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, maybe they should trade Kyrie, flick him in the right nut. You're now allowed to flick them in the right nut if they say something dumb like that. So, oh, they might be better with Terry Rozier than Kyrie Irving. What do you reckon? Right nut flick. Pow! Right there. Right there. Right in the old fellas. Love it. All right. Final one. Will the Wolves trade Karl Anthony Towns this offseason with everyone saying shit's not right up there in Minnesota? Yeah, nah. Nah, not at all. Come on, man. They know he's a fucking beast. Andrew Wiggins, on the other hand, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. I reckon there's just a little bit of whack shit up there, and I feel like Karl Anthony Towns is the one who they're going to go, yeah, he's really fucking good, so how about we just keep that guy? You know what I'm saying? So moving on, let's get on to the look at me, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
The unpopular opinion of the day. I think the Rockets have still got a chance. They just got beaten by 41 fucking points, but I still think they've got a bit of a chance tonight against the Warriors. I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you think, Stephen A. Smith?
This is ridiculous.
It's a good point. It's tough. But yeah, that's an unpopular opinion of the day. I still think the Rockets might have a chance at tying this one back up tonight. We'll see how they go. So let's step into Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday here at Outback, so come down for double shrimp, double Alice Springs chicken, and double blooming onions with your flame grilled take. And today's take is, you need to score more than 84 points to beat the Golden State Warriors in Golden State. and I think the Houston Rockets will do so tonight and tie up their series 2-2 with a 45-point explosion from James Harden, only at Outback. Holy shit, that's a flame grill take. I don't know, man. I think that Houston might have a bit of a chance. I don't know about fucking winning it, though. So what do you reckon? Let us know. Give us a shout. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's get on to the Australian player watch and a couple of other fun things right after, let's say, these words.
Hi there. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's Australian Player Watch. We've got the game wrap for our remaining Aussie out there. Aaron Bangers Baines, the cement truck, disguised as an NBA player. He's got the haircut of a Surry Hills barista, but he's out there trucking fools. This is a great one. Bangers, just the way that he sort of turned, he had the rebound, the offensive rebound in traffic, turns around and is like, how do I pass this ball out? Well, everybody on his team is like, go to the rim. There is no one behind you. Go to the rim. It was pretty amazing. It was great. Classic Bainesy, I want to say. On your Bangers. So he ends up with 8 points, 7 rebounds, 1 block, 2 of 3 from the field, and 6 free throws he took. Hit 4 of them. Aaron Bangers Baines out there crushing it, mate. Didn't take any 3-pointers last night, which is a bit of a shame because the Bangers 3-point watch is just legitimately one of the absolute gems of these NBA playoffs at the moment. And the fact that he's still leading the Celtics in 3-point percentage while Joel Embiid is like talking shit is pretty great, right? On your Bangers. So there you go. That's Australian Player Watch. We'll update that again after their game on Wednesday night. So should be pretty fun, I reckon. All right. How about we move on to, oh, I love this one. What do you reckon? It's a classic. It is an absolute, I love this segment with all my bloody heart. Let's get right into it, shall we?
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed. It is the Shane Heal. Shoot your shot. Random bloke. Going ham of the night. Award of the week, Hall of Fame. And this is an absolute pearler because he's one of my favorite players of all time. He is Der Dunkerschnitzel. Herr Dunkenstein. Dirk fucking Nowitzki. Yes, do you remember? He's got one of the highest scoring playoff games of all time. It happened in the Western Conference Finals in 2006. Man, that's like 12 years ago now. Holy shit. Way to make you feel old. So in the closeout game against the Phoenix Suns, Dallas win 117-101, and Dirk goes off for a fucking 50-piece and absolutely towels the Steve Nash, Sean Marion, Raja Bell, Boris Diaw, Tim Thomas sons. This is the year that Stoudemire's out. So Dirk, though, in 44 minutes, he goes 14 of 26 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3, 17 of 18. From the free throw line, which is pretty bloody good, has 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and ends up on 50 fucking points. 41, you are an absolute legend. This was an amazing game. He's backed up back then by Josh Howard too, and Jerry Stackhouse coming off the bench for 16. Unreal. But Dirk, 50 points. That's one of the highest scoring playoff games in all NBA history. And Dirk, I'm just so stoked that he's up there. So he has a 50-point, 12-rebound game, 14 of 26 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3. That is a Shane Heal, shoot your shot, random bloke going ham, award of the week, Hall of Fame, right there. On ya, Dirk Nowitzki, on ya. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Joe Ingles Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board, and our game preview for Rockets Warriors Game 4. Right off the, let's say, these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back. It is time for the Joe Ingles Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board. What's Joe Ingles got to say today? Oh, mate. Most of it is awesome. You basically just need to like basically have Joe Ingles Twitter on notifications because then you'll feel pretty good about everything because it's incredible. So Andrew Bogut tweets out, my pet hate anonymous people on social media. Where does that leave us? And it's responding to a dude named The Calf Muscle. And he says, my pet fucking hate is when people speak, yeah, you know. And Andrew Bogut says that anonymous people suck. Joe Ingles responds, nice calves though, you know. The Calf Muscle. Joe Ingles just out there crushing it. Then also tweets later, can I get a jersey, Andrew Bogut? And then responds to some dude saying, you the first person to tweet Bogut a question and not get blocked. And Joe Ingles responds, it's because I'm his favorite player. Ah, Joey. Nice one. That's great. And classic Joe Ingles. And we're going to have a Joe Ingles HR manager at the end of this show, so stick around. So in the meantime, though, let's get on to our game preview for today.
Game preview. Game preview.
What is this inadvertent, Bane?
I believe it is the Houston Rockets at the Golden State Warriors. Game four.
Wow. Yes, it is. So what do you think, inadvertent, Bane? Can the Rockets bounce back from that 41-point beatdown?
Not a chance in hell.
All right, I guess so. So, look, Steph went off in game three in the second half. Remember, he was 1 of 7 in the first half. Goes absolutely bananas in that third quarter, goes 7 of 7. Can he do it again? The coward, Kevin Durant, had a relatively quiet night for 25. And anytime you can have Steph and KD go off for 60, you'll take it. Can the Warriors do that again? It feels like it's the most obvious kind of thing, right? That yes, they fucking will. Between Draymond having a slightly quieter one in the last game, even though he had 17 rebounds. Klay wasn't shooting great. They really had to lean on Steph, but then they just kind of kicked the crap out of them, and the Rockets played like absolute flogs. Will the Rockets do that again? Probably not, but will the Warriors be that kind of just eke it out, crush them, and run over the top of them thanks to a Steph kind of game? It's hard, man. The Rockets, I feel like they're going to get a little bit more. So I think this is going to be like an absolute fucking ball terror and be very close. And I kind of feel, even though the unpopular opinion of the day was that the Rockets have got a chance, I don't think they win this. It's going to take a massive effort from Harden. Chris Paul needs to actually play like he belongs in the NBA still. Because Jesus, it wasn't that great last time. They need to figure out what to do with Clint Capella. PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon all need to hit shots. They all sputtered it up hardcore in game three. Ah, fuck it. I'm going to take the Rockets. It'll be way more fun if they win, won't it? I want this 2-2. I want both series 2-2. That's all I ask for. Come on, let's get me entertained. Let's keep everybody entertained. How good is more basketball? That's all I ever want. I just want more basketball because the offseason is long and quiet and it sucks. So give me more basketball. So give me the Rockets tonight against the Warriors in Golden State. It's a weird call. It's a big call. But I feel like they've just got a big bounce back maybe just waiting to happen. See how it goes. That'd be fun. And you know what? We're bouncing because that's it for today. That's NBA Australia. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. We're going to wrap the Warriors and Rockets game four. We'll also we've got a very special guest coming on tomorrow. One of our Australian listeners there, which should be pretty good. So stick around for that tomorrow. That's going to be really cool. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all the good stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcast. And chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review, would you? That'd be awesome. It really helps out. Pushes up the old chats there. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out House Hats, their new band. They are awesome. They're the best band in Australia right now. Their single Stop is an absolute perler. Extra special thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. They are great tunes. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Joe Ingles HR manager. And we'll catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. It's going to be an absolute hurler, and I am fully stoked. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. It's the NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! G'day. It's Joe Ingles here, in for my usual front-facing weekly appointment in the NBA Australia office. And now I'm done with the playoffs and back-smashing good coffee here in Australia, I've got even more time to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. It's pretty good, eh? That's right, I'm not here back in Australia doing my masters in basketball. No, you jingly jokers. I'm doing my masters in human resources at Geelong Deakin. So I'm the most qualified to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So let's get to today's question. It comes from a Brad in Boston. Dear Joe, I have a problem. I think I am pretty good at my job, but everyone says I'm really, 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 that's a lot of reallys there, Brad. Really, really smart. And that I do stuff on purpose that, shh, don't tell anyone, but kind of just happens. So I don't feel smart. I just like doing my job. Meanwhile, people are saying I'm probably the best at my job of anyone anywhere doing my job. But I feel like it comes down to my team and the organization I work for, not me. And that makes me really uncomfortable. Do you have any advice? Thanks for your time, Brad, Boston. Oh, thanks for taking the time to write in, Brad. That's a very interesting position you find yourself in. Look, a lot of this just comes down to what you want out of your role. Do you want to be noticed or do you want to just do good work? You can't control what other people say about you, only the work. So as long as the work you're doing is great, people will think you're great. In the meantime, as a HR manager, I'd suggest to just smile, nod, and do your job to the best of your abilities and keep hitting those KPIs and making sure management is happy with your performance and the rest will sort itself out. Otherwise, if you start believing what people say about you, your performance might slip or their expectations might outstrip cognitive reality and you might find yourself under an avalanche of expectation that isn't your doing. So, spread the love, make sure everyone realizes that your success isn't an individual achievement, it's everyone's, and with that in mind, maybe just bake some cupcakes for everyone once in a while to show that you appreciate what they're doing, and make sure you lead the choruses of happy birthday whenever someone in the office has a birthday. That shows that you're a real team player. After all, as we say in HR, the best way to put a good foot forward is to sing happy birthday to the Bernice louder than everyone else. So there you go, Brad. Stay the course and don't get too worried. And best of luck. Hopefully that lets you focus your human resources and enjoy a healthy workplace environment and organizational success. Okay, that's all I've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles and this has been the HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.